Welcome to Flowcast and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Sister Beth Murphy. As a special treat for this national holiday, I'm joined by my Dominican sister, Margaret Schreiber. Sister Margaret is a pastoral associate at Holy Family Parish in Lincoln, Illinois. She earned a doctorate in sacred theology from Catholic University in liturgy and has taught students of liturgy at Marian College and at Catholic University in DC. So welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
You know, I'm not sure about you, Sister Margaret, but when I was a kid, my parents and all nine of my siblings and I would dress in our Sunday best on Thanksgiving Day and walk the quarter mile to St. Paul the Apostle Parish for Thanksgiving Day Mass. Mom would have been up very early to pop the Thanksgiving bird in the oven. And by the time we arrived home from church, the aroma of turkey and dressing was filling the house. And I'm sure we kids were all on high G as we anticipated the arrival of our aunts and uncles and cousins who were also awaiting this great feast with joy. But only when I was a bit older did I begin to make the connection between those two events. Celebrating Eucharist at church and welcoming family for Thanksgiving dinner. Only when I learned that the word Eucharist means Thanksgiving did that connection come alive for me. That's what I want to talk with you about today. How is Eucharist Thanksgiving? And how is Thanksgiving Eucharist? But out of my own curiosity, and I'm sure our listeners' curiosity too, what was your Thanksgiving morning like when you were a kid?
It was very similar to yours. There were six of us, six children, and my mother would always get us up on Thanksgiving morning, and we would have to go to Mass. To the degree, her conviction was so strong that I began to think it was a holy day of obligation, that Thanksgiving Day, you had to go to Mass. But in my family, it was a holy day of obligation. We had to go to Thanksgiving Day Mass. But I do want to be clear that it is not a holy day of obligation on our liturgical calendar. But it certainly, for me, is a day of giving thanks to God for all that I have and all that has been given to my family and friends.
So I bet that you can give us some insight about that word that we're using, Eucharist, and its origins. And I think that might be a good starting point for where we begin to delve into this conversation about Thanksgiving and Eucharist.
Sure. The English word Thanksgiving comes from a Greek word, Eucharistine. So you can even hear it. You can hear Eucharist in that Greek word. So we do connect Eucharist and Thanksgiving as two words having very similar meanings. However, it's a challenge to really explain the theological and historical and cultural realities of the two. What's really important, I think, is Eucharist is a sacrament. It is an object that gives us something visual of the mystery of Christ's body and blood. It's something concrete. It's something we can see, but it is also something with a deeper meaning. What I think is also important is Eucharist cannot be isolated in its species. It is the body and blood of the risen Christ, but Eucharist also means action.
Ah, and sometimes we forget that, I think.
I think so too. Okay, so when we think about Mass, we can think about four important actions that are part of the Eucharist. The first is gathering. We gather to become a faith community, to be formed into a community. Another action is listening. We spend time listening to the Word of God. And our third is giving thanks. And that's in our Eucharistic prayer, that long prayer that we offer during Mass in which we consecrate the body, the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And the last I think is really, really important, and that is the sending. So when I'm at Mass, I can't leave after the blessing. I have to wait for the sending so that I have a sense that I am sent out to live daily as the body of Christ in our world.
Yeah, you know, thanks for that. So at Eucharist, we're participating in these actions of a gathering, listening, giving thanks, and being sent, right? That's what you've just...
Correct.
You've just outlined. I remember reading John Zezulus, who is an Orthodox theologian, and he says the most important words, verbs, as a part of Eucharist are these two, gathering and processing. And I just laughed when you talked about how that being sent is so important, because now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I remember, that the Latin phrase, which I cannot repeat, but you will be able to repeat, the Latin phrase for that dismissal is where we get the word Mass. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Do you remember the phrase?
A missae es. I think it's just missae es.
Missae es. So Mass has ended. Get out of here. Go and live what you've just received, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Right. And I think it's really important that that helps us understand that Eucharist can't be in isolation from action. You know, that they're connected. They're tied together. And then also to kind of move into the idea of Thanksgiving, really the word Thanksgiving means an expression of gratitude. When we have Thanksgiving, we express gratitude. That's what we do and always have done on Thanksgiving Day. We gather and we are grateful. We're grateful for a lot of things. We're grateful to God. That's why we would go to Mass. But we're also grateful for the inbreaking of God in the human history, which helps us to appreciate and be thankful for our families and our friends and all of the gifts of creation that we have. So Thanksgiving is a way to express our gratitude for what we have.
Yes, I think that's really true. And I'm wondering if there is a biblical foundation for our understanding of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot, but I just would like to point out a few that I find really powerful. And one is Psalm 100. And I'll quote it for you. Enter God's gate with thanksgiving and God's court with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. So what I think is really important here is that the psalm really exhorts us, encourages us to give thanks, but it also gives us a purpose for giving thanks. And it says, because the Lord is good, God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness is to all generation. That's, I think, so powerful and wonderful when we're thinking about thanks and giving thanks.
And you know, Margaret, we take that for granted as Christians. Mm-hmm. We understand that God is good. But when you think about the time when the Psalms were being written in the culture, I don't think that was taken for granted. I don't think everyone understood that God was a good being who willed good for humanity. And so that is quite radical in its context, is it not?
Yes, exactly. I think we often take things for granted, and it's important to start thinking about giving thanks. Another reason in Psalm 103 for giving thanks, I think, is also very good. The psalmist tells us God forgives all our iniquities, heals all our diseases, redeems our life from the pit, crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, and satisfies us with good. Do we appreciate the good that God satisfies us with, even in the midst of our sinfulness, our disease, our need for mercy? it can all be satisfied when we think about the good that God has for us.
Mm, yeah, that's really wonderful. And I'm willing to bet that you are also going to give us some scriptural examples from the New Testament.
You got it. Exactly. So, and that could take hours and hours. So I'm just going to point out a couple of things that have always struck me about giving thanks. And 2 Corinthians, there is the sentence, "Thanks be to God for God's inexpressible gifts." I find that really powerful, because when you think about it, how can we express our thanks to God for creation and for Eucharist? We don't have the words. We have to really struggle to find the words. And thanks be to God that we do have scripture that gives us some help in doing that. But I think it's the point I want to make too is we don't always recognize the gifts of creation from God. And when we do, there again, we don't always have adequate words to offer thanks. I think we take things for granted, and at the same time, we seek more. I loved, and I've remembered for years, what one of my college professors said. He said that the original sin is a failure to be thankful, mm-hmm. a failure to be grateful for all that we have been given. And if you think about the second story of creation, it reveals there humans who had everything, and they were still unable to reject something that was forbidden because they wanted more. And this tells us of hearts lacking thankfulness to God for all that we have received. And I think an unsatisfied and ungrateful heart leads us down a path of greed. So it behooves us to be thankful, even without the adequate words to express the depth of our feeling.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about the inadequate words, it always reminds me of something that happens. It happens in lots of cultures other than our own, but where I'm familiar with it is with our Iraqi Dominican sisters and brothers. When they have an expression of tremendous joy, they will do something that goes by a kind of an ugly word. It's called ululating, but basically it's that high-pitched, guttural flowing of, some people might perceive it as a scream, but it comes from comes from the deep joy. And it's a nonsense word. It doesn't mean anything except that it's a deeply human expression of joy that within the Iraqi culture and many other Middle Eastern and African cultures, they know what I mean if you have had an experience. And I have always wondered, my own curiosity, if that sound is not the original source of a word that we use in liturgy, which is alleluia. Mm. I have no proof of that, but I've always just wondered.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. It makes sense because it is an expression that, and when we sing it, I know there are some minor key alleluias, but when it's in the major key, you know, it just fills you with joy. And presently where I'm working, we have a priest from Kenya. And when he goes into the nursing home to have mass, we have mass in some of our nursing homes. That's what he sings. He sings alleluia and he starts clapping his hands and moving around. And the people there just respond. You know, some of them are nonverbal. And so, but their expressions is so powerful. Yeah.
So a nonverbal way of giving thanks and that inexpressible joy that Paul talks about, the inexpressible gifts that we have received from God, that's all a part of our Thanksgiving Eucharist.
Correct. Correct. And again, Eucharist is the gift that where are the words? How do we express it? You know, and that's why we go to Mass, even when we don't feel like it or it isn't good, just to be there is an expression of gratitude. whether words are said or you say those words, thank you. Just being present is an expression of gratitude for the Eucharist. And again, I think sometimes we do take the Eucharist for granted. Some of us, as it sounds like you had, Beth, a habit of regularly going to Mass and participating. And it was easy to go to Mass because you're in the habit of it. But when we start to lose a sense of the sacramental gift of the body and blood of Christ, we just take it for granted. And you know how it is when you don't keep up that relationship with you, when you don't keep up and stay in touch with such a wonderful gift, it begins to wane. It begins to become less powerful in our life. And we start to take it for granted. And then our relationship with God and with others can begin to weaken.
Yeah, that's true. So when we celebrate Sunday Mass, it's a kind of a full day. It's a kind of Thanksgiving day. Every Sunday is a Thanksgiving day. But I'm wondering how you might distinguish between what we do at Mass in giving thanks and the thanks that we traditionally give on Thanksgiving Day. Could you call both of them Eucharist?
I would say one is Eucharist and one is Eucharistic. So the Mass is always about God. And the focus of our attention at Mass is God. It's the reason we participate. Thanksgiving Day is a day for giving thanks to God, but also to give thanks for family and friends and, might I say, TV stations that give us great sports coverage for that day. We thank God for our jobs and so much more. Not that we can't do that at Mass, but we do it in the presence of our family in a way that the focus isn't solely on God. It's on God for these many gifts, but on Thanksgiving Day, it's more of a familial gathering and giving thanks at a special meal. And for some people, that's the only meal that during the year, or maybe on a few other special occasions. But in general, that's the day when people will bow their heads at the meal and give thanks for their time together. It's a day that we intentionally celebrate our thankfulness.
In a way, Margaret, it seems like, because you talked about the action of the Eucharist, and that if that action is not happening sacramentally inside Mass, and I don't know if the right word would be extra sacramentally or outside the sacramental setting, in our lives in the world, then we're not living the action that we're called to at Eucharist. And so maybe we could see Thanksgiving Day as a way of, within our family settings, ritualizing our commitment to be actively grateful for all that we have. I wonder.
Yeah, I think ritually grateful is an important way to say it. But ritual happens in two different places. Mm. Mass is ritual. And the Thanksgiving Day meal can be ritual. I mean, it sounds as if you had a ritual with your family. You did the same thing all the time on Thanksgiving Day, as did I. So that is a ritual. I think to make a distinction here between what happens in the family setting and what happens at Mass is that it is the ritual at home needs to flow from the ritual at Mass. It's the sacramental living flows into what we do in our family, in our life, in a way that is grounded in Eucharist. So the Thanksgiving Day celebration at home is really a Eucharistic event, not a capital E Eucharist event, but they have to flow from the Eucharist that we celebrate at Mass.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking about a conversation I had with Rabbi Barry Marks a long time ago. He explained to me that in Judaism, when they lost the temple, the locus of their ritual moved from the temple to the family table. And so within Judaism, the Shabbat services on Saturday evening are what replaced temple worship. And every family gathers around their own home, and their dinner table is their altar. And we can't have escaped having some of that come to us, because what we learned in the podcast with Rabbi Posen is that we in the Catholic Church consider our Jewish brothers and sisters as our elder brothers and sisters in faith. And so we have inherited some of those traditions from them as well. So what would you say to this question? Is Thanksgiving Day a religious holiday or a civic one? I know we've said that it is not, it's not a holy day of obligation in the sense of Christmas or the Feast of the Assumption. But what would you say? Is it a religious or a civic holiday?
I think it's both. And I think that the meaning of the day has evolved from a special meal. Today, some of the religious meaning has been lost, because I do think that today, when we think of Thanksgiving Day, it's really a weekend that we gather as a family and begin to celebrate Christmas. That makes sense because geography, families have family all over the place. And so it takes a whole month to really celebrate Christmas. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. But I also think that with Thanksgiving becoming the unofficial beginning of the Christmas season, it has also become the busiest travel day. We'll hear about how many people traveled on Thanksgiving Day on the news that night. But I also, I do think that it is a civic holiday, because it also, hopefully people do give thanks, but you know, I think some of it is lost as we have extended it to more of a Christmas beginning rather than a day of giving thanks. Now, Christmas is also a day of Thanksgiving in the sense of that's why we give gifts. We're grateful for these people. So, you know, it's hard to untangle all of it, but I do think that the intensity, I might say, of the Thanksgiving Day of the past really was focused on thanks, giving thanks. And God was included in that. Now, how much God is still included in that is unclear to me.
Mm. You know, the other thing that can confuse the matter for people is that not this year, I don't think, but in many years, the Sunday after Thanksgiving is often the first Sunday of Advent. Now, what gets skipped over, of course, in the commercialism of the season is people forget about Advent and go right from Thanksgiving to Christmas. But so that can be confusing for people too. And, you know, it's a separate thing. Maybe it's only a problem for Catholic people, I don't know, to conflate Thanksgiving and Advent and Christmas all in one.
But we could also think of it as a evolutionary kind of thing, you know, that we begin on Thanksgiving Day. And the thing that I thought about recently is that maybe Advent is opening up and can have a more religious part to it, because by Thanksgiving Day, Christmas shopping is pretty much done, you know, except for a few things. But the intensity of the shopping season is kind of over, because then we start celebrating. And maybe that's something we should tap into for Advent, you know, to help us prepare more intentionally for Christmas.
Well, if my community members are listening to this, Margaret, they're laughing at you, because there is no way that my Christmas shopping is done before Thanksgiving. There's just no way.
Well, and that maybe is very good.
Okay, so that's all very interesting. So I'm wondering, that given all that, Margaret, what would you say is the traditional meaning of Thanksgiving Day?
Well, I'm not a historian, but I did look up some history about Thanksgiving Day, and I found that there's a lot of writing on the origins of the national holiday. But as you know, recorded history is always from a human experience and perspective. But I have to say, most agree that the holiday has religious and cultural roots. The debate on the origin of the holiday, though, is inconclusive. So some historians claim the founders of Thanksgiving Day are the Pilgrims, the colonists, our forefathers, U.S. presidents, and I even found the Catholic Church lays stake in the claim as founder of the day. But what I found interesting and clear is the official proclamation by President Lincoln on October 3rd, 1863. In that proclamation, he declared Thanksgiving Day a national holiday in the United States that was to be celebrated on the last Thursday of November. Interestingly, and kind of as a sidebar, Theodore Roosevelt began a shift in meaning when he moved Thanksgiving Day to the third Thursday so that there would be more time for Christmas shopping, giving the holiday an economic quality.
That's interesting.
I thought that was kind of interesting. But I want to go back to Lincoln. President Lincoln's purpose in the Declaration really was religious within the context of an awareness of the Civil War. He said that the day was an opportunity to give thanks to God. That's what we've been talking about. A day asking God for mercy. Now think of this in the context of the Civil War. And a day to entrust to God those who are widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers from civil strife. In his proclamation, Lincoln also called citizens to ask for God's hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it to a full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. That sounds religiously rooted in purpose. At least one day a year was set aside to nationally acknowledge God as the one to whom we owe our gratitude, the one to whom we beg for mercy, and a day to be reminded to work for unity among all people. I think we need to hear that proclamation again. If you go online, you'll find that the United States is not the only country that celebrates a Thanksgiving holiday. Canada's is celebrated in mid-October. German countries traditionally have a harvest Thanksgiving festival, and that happens in autumn. And Japan, this is interesting, has a labor Thanksgiving Day, November 23rd, to honor laborers, similar to our Labor Day. And as I thought about all of that, I thought, well, perhaps there really is a universal human need to express gratitude, and isn't that good?
I think that's beautiful. I didn't know most of that, and it certainly will help me to have a different kind of experience this Thanksgiving. So you're right, Margaret. If we do have this deep human need to give thanks, then it makes sense that we go to Mass on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think I learned from you at one point, Margaret, that there's a placement for a Mass on Thanksgiving Day in the United States Roman Missal. Could you talk about why that's significant?
Sure. I think that placement of Masses is significant because it says something about the importance that the bishops place on that particular Mass. So we have lots of categories for Mass. We have solemnities that are Sundays and holy days. We have feasts that are of the apostles and Mary. And we have memorials. And they are some of the primary saints. And then we have optional memorials. And what I want to say is the bishops made the Thanksgiving Day Mass a memorial. That has some importance. But what is the most significant to me is that they have placed the Mass among the Masses for Sundays. So it isn't in a section for optional memorials. It isn't even in the section for memorials. It is placed in the placement where our Sunday masses are. That says to me it is considered an important day on our liturgical calendar.
Yes, as it should be. I think that's wonderful. And it's nice to know that liturgically we recognize the day as that important.
Yes, so a day to truly give thanks and praise to God.
Right. Why not? I think it's a great idea. So do you have any last words you want to share with us, Margaret?
Yeah, I would like to be real clear about the connection I see between Eucharist, capital E, the body and blood of Christ, and Thanksgiving Day. That I see Eucharist as and Thanksgiving Day being realized when Eucharist is central to the participants of both events. When the day begins with Mass and the Thanksgiving dinner happens. The Thanksgiving Day Mass is sacramental sharing of the body and blood of Christ, the risen Christ. It is Christ, the Eucharist. And that's what we carry to the Thanksgiving Day dinner for a Eucharistic gathering of sharing love and life with the body and blood of Christ, lower B's. Body and blood of Christ, who is present in us in all the people gathered around the table. We need both. We need the real presence of the risen Christ manifest to us in Eucharist, and we need the incarnate presence of Christ in our daily Eucharistic encounters with one another. We receive the body and blood of the risen Christ at Mass to be the body and blood of Christ for the life of the world.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you. That is, I think, the perfect reflection for us to end on this episode of Flowcast that will land on Thanksgiving Day this year in 2023. So thank you so very much, Sister Margaret Schreiber, for being with us and for sharing your insights about Eucharist and Thanksgiving, about the history of our national holiday and its connection to our Catholic faith. I'm Sister Beth Murphy, and this has been Flowcast. The Flow in Flowcast is an acronym that stands for the life of the world, that just as Jesus in his risen body and present in our Eucharist gave his life for the life of the world, so too must we do. On behalf of the whole Flowcast team, thank you for joining us, and happy Thanksgiving.